Have you ever eaten one of those Jewish crusty rolls with poppy seeds and a toasted onion center? They're round, but they're not bagels. They're called bialys. Some call them kuchen. They're named after the town in Poland where they originate. Mimi Sheraton loves bialys. A travel writer, Sheraton set out to visit the Polish town of Bialystok to find the people who invented this magical bread. But the thriving town of 50,000 didn't survive the Nazis. Sheraton found that only 4 Jews were left. She told me how her journey started.
My interest in the bialy was to see what it was like in the town of Bialystok. And in 1992, I was working quite a lot for the Condé Nast Traveler, and they asked me to go to Eastern Europe to write about restaurants, and one of the countries was Poland. So I said to my husband, let's go to Bialystok and see if they have bialys. There were only 4 Jews left when I was there, and they were not really native Bialystokers. They were people who had settled there. And only one baker that we found, we followed leads all over town, knocking on doors, bothering people, and we found a Gentile baker who said that his mother told him the Jews used to bake a round roll that had onions on it that everybody liked very much, and it also had poppy seeds. That was very important in the olden days in Bialystok. I had an incredible letter from a man in Melbourne, Australia, named Pesach Schmooz, who was a survivor, and whose family, 5 generations of his family, had baked Bialystok kuchen in Bialystok. And he wrote me 10-page, handwritten, tiny script letter of every detail about how the family made the bialys, the kind of wood they used in the oven, the fact that they would put the bialys in on the right side of the oven and after a certain point move them to the left side where the heat was different, about the peel they used to put it in the oven, how the fathers would mix the dough at night and go to sleep in the morning, and the mothers would wake up and do the selling in the shop. And then the cycle would begin over again. And he remembered so much, and he remembered the names of bialy bakers, Moses the Long Nose, Shmuel the One-Eyed. He remembered the streets they were on. He would say Moshe Mendel. He had his bakery right in town with entrances from both Kupieska and Geldova Street. But Pesach Schmooz wound up by saying, in June 1941, the Nazis came to us,
and since then there are no more Bialystok kuchen, no more kuchen bakeries, no more Bialystok Jews. The Nazis killed almost all of us. I was in Auschwitz. I was liberated in Dachau. I went back to Bialystok and left shortly with a curse on my lips and a promise never to return to the cursed land again. Poland was the only country where young Jews were killed after the war. I don't forgive the Nazis, but I don't forgive the Poles either. The Nazis showed the Poles where Jews lived, and Poles robbed the Jews.
There was another very interesting man I interviewed several times, the last time when he was 101. His name was Ben Halperin, and he lived in Detroit. He's the father-in-law of Senator Carl Levin. And he told a story of growing up in Bialystok, and his mother would give him a hot kuchen every morning with some butter spread on the bottom. And Mr. Halperin told me that one morning, as he was on his way to school, a streetwalker came over to beg some money, and he didn't have any money. And she stole his kuchen, grabbed it out of his hand, and ran away eating it. And he said, I can still remember how hungry I was that morning in Cheder, meaning the Jewish school he went to. So you just know that this is a visceral thing, an involuntary reflex memory evoked by just recalling a bialy, not even biting into one. In In Israel, there is a whole settlement called Kiryat Bialystok, which is made up of ex-Bialystokers. Of course, they're aging now and dying off, and they have not transferred that to many of their children. A few of the children who have gone back to Bialystok with their parents have some feeling about it. There is a memorial service there every August to which many former Bialystokers come to remember, to have what's called a Yiska service for 2,000 Jews who were burned to death in the Great Synagogue when the Nazis set fire to it, locking the Jews inside. That was in 1941, and there is still a service for that every August. And several of them said, I hate to go back, I hate the Poles, but I don't want to let them forget us. One of my earliest interviews and one of the most memorable people in this, one of the most critical, was Samuel Pizar, a very well-known international lawyer who was a Bialystoker and an Auschwitz survivor. And he remembered Kuchen. And in the first interview I had with him, he said this, when I was an adolescent in Auschwitz, lying on the...
When I was an adolescent in Auschwitz, lying on the hard shelf that was my bed, and hallucinating from hunger, I would often try to recall the shape and savory aroma of the kuchen we used to eat at home in Bialystok. By then, I had lost all of my family and school friends. Years later, when I was in New York, I would watch the street corner wagons that sell coffee and bread in the morning. I marveled at the whites, blacks, Asians, and Latinos as they munched on the bialys. I felt as though I was from another planet. To each of them, it was simply a tasty snack. How could they know they were partaking of something sacred? A bread that evoked bittersweet memories of a cultured and tragic corner of Eastern Poland. A bread that in my psyche summons up, even today, the mystical dream world of Marc Chagall and Isaac Bashevis Singer.
Mamie Sheridan's the author of the book The Bialy Eaters, the story of a bread and a lost world. Thanks to Paul Bozing and Lee Waldhart for reading the letters from Bialystok.